Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, well, here we are, another week. You know, again, I don't like to beat the same drum, but the drum is, when volume is light, markets are dull, look for the markets to hang or to kind of slightly move up. There's buyers stepping in. But I think we saw on Friday a very key move, which not many will talk about, but the key Friday was the big rally above 1950, but the close below. So, you know, that should play out in this week sometime as to what's going to go on. Now, it should be a tenuous week because, A, we'll see if the volume returns. B, you've got jobs on Friday. Now, again, I don't believe in the jobs. I don't think it has anything to do with anything. I think it's a bunch of crap. But the people that will be looking will probably be looking towards the jobs number. So that could have some sort of an effect on overall markets. Earnings season has been pretty tragic, and that is winding down. The overall tech space, the FANG stocks are kind of breaking down. We see trouble everywhere. And again, that just indicates that markets are probably going to try to work their way lower. Now, I would think you'd be looking for a spot to sell in here. Now, again, I don't want you to think that I'm creating some kind of fear model. I don't want to have that presumption that I'm trying to scare you. I want you to be protected. I want you to be in the markets. I just want you to have an understanding of where I think we might go. And I think that we start to work our way lower, and only because there is trouble out there. Again, we just had the G20 Fantasy Island party. Excuse me, where they were out in their you know, talking about their crap as usual. And of course, yesterday or last night, actually, I was on CNBC Asia, and, you know, I said, look, there's no growth. These guys are in Fantasy Island. They don't have an idea of what they're going to do next. So why would I expect something different from them today? They will continue to do what they do, which is try to manipulate markets around, trying to save face and show you how to save, how much they've blown the opportunity to make things better. Debt continues to build. That is goes without question. Collateralized loans are starting to fail. You already see the big banks dumping debt like it's going out of style. That's not good. Those are all problems. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to avoid the problem that they created in the past. But when you look at the overall big picture world here, there is nothing good to report about the economy. There's nothing good to report anywhere because, again, there is no growth. I don't care what number you want to look at. The key number to look at is the payroll tax. Payroll tax is lower. That immediately tells you people are not making enough money. Okay. And if you notice, gas prices started to creep up a little bit again. Now, you know, these guys are going to try to hammer you when they can. And you know, there'll be record profits again because they're going to squeeze the spread. They're no different than anybody else. They run it up as fast as they can and they dribble it down. I mean, who would have thunk? But that's what they do. You know, that's the society. That's what we're living in. And that's fine. Okay. But at the end of the day, you have to have a support staff of middle class. You have to have the middle class working and making enough money to enjoy their life and to spend their money. They want to spend their money. They got that money. They want to spend it, but they don't. When they don't have it, they can't spend it. We hear this talk about there's more savers. The reason there's more saving is because people have to make sure they can pay their bill coming up. They don't have confidence that they're going to get a job if they lose this one. That's why there's more savings. You can spin it any way you want, but the fact spin is that people are saving because they're worried, because they're now working two jobs, three jobs, just to try to get by. Because a guy that was making $30 an hour and working an 8-hour day now has to make $10 an hour and work a 20-hour day. It's just, again, I see it all the time. I talk to these workers on a daily basis about what's going on. Help me out. Let me understand where you're coming from, because I'm in that area. You know, I go to mechanics places. I go to stores, you know, and I talk to everybody. I've got friends of mine that are in the retail space. And this is what they're telling me, is that you're not seeing the excessive spending that we've seen. People are not willing to go into debt right now because they're afraid they might not have a job tomorrow. So if you continue to, you know, beat this and allow this to continue on, this is what we're going to see. People are not going to go on the hook to spend more money. That's why all these credit card offers are coming out. There isn't a day go by that I don't get a 0% interest notice that I can write a check on my credit card and I'd have to pay interest. I could pay it off in zero if I paid it off on time. But what they're counting on is that you don't pay. Okay. And then the interest reverts back to their usury rates. And who knows what those are? That's what all these deals are preying on, is the poor middle class that wants to buy something new, that needs to buy something new, but they can't afford it because, again, they're worried about the job. So now you get this glowing 0% finance thing in your mailbox. You go, oh, geez, I can pay that off. It's no problem. But people don't want to do that because they're afraid. The credit card companies, the banks, are enticing you because they know that for every guy like me who would pay it off on time, because if I take it, I'm only taking because I know I'm going to pay it back. Because if I can't pay it back, I'm not taking it. For everyone who will pay it off, there'll be 10 that will get caught and end up paying it off forever. And that's what they're preying on. That's the problem with a society when you've shut out and beaten down the middle class. This is why there's problems. This is why we're going to see so much of a deeper correction, because we cannot support the retail stores that are open. We can't support the other items that are open. And certainly the accessory goods, you know, other than what you absolutely need, are you going to go out and buy it today? And probably not. Why would you? Who's going to take the chance? I mean, certainly you got to cut down somewhere, and you're going to basically take care of the necessities. And if you got children, my God, look at the expenses you have coming ahead of you. Okay. You know, look, you've got, you know, if you've got, you know, young kids, they got school, they got this club, that club, you know, it's no longer kids go out and play out in the street. It's, you know, they got to be involved somewhere. And there's, you know, the play dates and the this and the competition. And then they got to have a cell phone. I mean, it becomes very scary when you look at the overall picture of where we're headed, because we aren't creating jobs in this country. We need to get jobs to come back to this country. We need to bring back manufacturing. But before we do that, we have to get our government to get off their lazy ass and make a deal to get the money back over here. Because certainly at this point in time, we could manufacture on par with China. But we have to get the money back here and make it feasible. There's a lot of people that were making more money, but would be happy to go back to work for $20 an hour, which would be a good rate where we could probably do some manufacturing in this country. The whole killer is the benefits and the Obamacare and the thing. That's what's preventing us from moving to the next level and getting people back. But again, get the government off their ass and quit worrying about such nonsense. And let's see how it really plays out and really put the average guy back to work. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. That is my platform of choice. If you ever miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm. Every day it is put there on demand for you. And we have over a couple of 100,000 people a month that download that show. And I want you to be one of them. Yeah. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We will be back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz.
Stay with me now. Welcome back to
The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one, the only, the magical Jane King, Lila Max Media, and the Ka-Ching Report. What is up, Jane King?
Oh, just, I think the most exciting thing, of course, the markets have all of a sudden got some life to them. February has been looking much better than January. And very interesting to watch the presidential election. This is one of the most entertaining things going on in the world right now.
It looks like it's going to be Donald Trump. What's going to happen there, in your opinion?
It does. Well, you know, of course, we had the debate last night, and it seemed to be really the first time that Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz had come out and fought. But Trump is so far ahead, and he just looks to be so strong on Super Tuesday that I think it's going to be too late for anybody else, and I think he's just going to run away with this thing. So I guess we should probably be preparing for a Trump-Clinton matchup in the fall.
You know, it's amazing. Now, how does Hillary Clinton stay as the favorite over everybody? I mean, she's got so many issues, and forget about my personal opinion about her, but she's not very dynamic either. I mean, what is the appeal, or is it just that she's a Democrat? I mean, what's your opinion?
Well, and I think, she's just trying to... she's always wanted to be president, is my opinion, and is just trying to play off of her experience as Secretary of State, which is mixed, actually. We never really got a good explanation of Benghazi, and even if, you know, that was, the judgment that was used there is questionable, I think. And you know, Bill Clinton, I think people just have Clinton fatigue. I mean, I said early on that I really didn't like the idea of a Clinton or a Bush in the White House again. I just felt like, nothing against anybody personally, but I just felt like that's not the kind of country we are. We're the same people hold the most powerful office in the land for decades and decades. I mean, that's what you see in, like, kingdoms and things like that. And I just didn't like the idea. And I really like the idea of, you know, Donald Trump kind of emerging, disrupting things. I was, you know, watching him over this weekend, and I thought, well, how interesting. Like, if he's not going to get what he wants from Congress, he's just going to hold a press conference and humiliate everybody. Well, and maybe that's what we need, because I think people want to get, they want to see things get done in Washington, and we haven't seen them so long.
Oh, that goes without saying. I mean, I if you want my opinion, I would just say that the political system is just broken down. It's really not what we intended to do, and I think that's where Trump brings a little bit of excitement to the match, is because he is his own man. He'll say whatever he wants whenever he wants to say it, and you know, maybe that is the shakeup that we need to really get things to work properly. But overall, I mean, you know, I think everybody's kind of tired of the old establishment, just, you know, because basically most politicians at this point in time are, you know, just in it for themselves or constituents, and you know, they make so much money. I mean, it's amazing what goes on and how much we actually pay these guys to not really do a heck of a lot. And I think it's just, you know, maybe it's good for the country. I don't know if he's going to win. You know, I don't even know what's going to go on. But the whole story is at least making it somewhat exciting. And of course, the Bernie Sanders deal was exciting for a little bit, if you like him. But you know, all these ideas everybody talks about, I mean, you and I both know that most things that everybody's talking about can't happen anyways, because there's too many people involved.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I think, I think he's got a good shot at the presidency. I mean, I think he will absolutely obliterate Hillary Clinton. And I think they will do that to him, too. Just look what happened when he made a comment about a woman comment, and it was, you know, perceived as sexist by some people. And Hillary Clinton, you know, of course, very quick to pounce on it, and he was very quick to say, look at Bill Clinton and why he did. And everybody just shut up. And I was like, okay, that's very interesting. And that's kind of what we're going to be seeing. I mean, there's a lot of material there. The Clintons have been in public life for a long time. I mean, there's the 90s stuff. There's the Clinton Foundation. There's the things when she was Secretary of State. There's Chelsea Clinton making $600,000 a year as a rookie reporter at NBC. I mean, there's all these things out there that just reek of crony capitalism, and I think he is just going to have a field day with it. And if he could just get the Republican establishment behind him, it could really be a strong candidacy.
Yeah, it is amazing that they're really pushing against him. I mean, it's kind of strange because in my opinion, I mean, for the Republicans to take back the White House, I mean, I don't think Cruz or Rubio could take it back. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but I'm not real impressed with those. I really like my candidate. She's gone. Fiorina. I like Fiorina.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I liked her, too. Kind of my plan was, you know, to vote for her in the primaries. I liked what she said about small government. She was very smart. She was composed. She seemed to have a lot of knowledge about a lot of different things, but just didn't catch on for whatever reason. But I think that, you know, she's got good things ahead of her. And, you know, Trump or whoever, if he is elected, would be, I think, wise to put her in a cabinet. But, you know, I was watching an interview with Hillary Clinton, and she was talking about how his supporters were all paranoid. And I was like, you know, I just don't think that's really fair. I mean, these are a lot of them, people who have been bypassed by the economy. They've been negatively affected by trade deals that have been negotiated, you know, from the 90s and more recently. And I don't think there's any paranoid there. I mean, I think the evidence is there that the middle class is slipping away. Their wages are not keeping up. The gap between the wealthy and the poor is growing wider in the United States. It's more than paranoia. It's reality.
No, I agree with that 100%. I mean, you know, you know, we talk about how good the jobs are and how good everything is. And, you know, you keep hearing on TV or the pundits say, oh, it's great, it's great, it's great. But in the meantime, I mean, payroll taxes, which is an unnegotiated amount. I mean, it's exact amount. You get a paycheck, you have to pay payroll taxes. And those continue to fall, which means that Americans are earning less money. I mean, that's just a simple, easy equation. So what do you think? Is this a dead cat bounce? I mean, China has still been in a lot of trouble. They've had some pretty brutal days, and but the U.S., you know, there's no, again, they're back on the bull charge and running. And you know, what does it look like to you?
Well, I think it is a dead cat bounce. Actually, I just don't see the evidence there that things are really turning around globally. You know, I think at the best, we could hope for kind of a flat year this year. I just, you know, we've had a long bull run. We haven't had any really prolonged correction. I mean, there's been a couple, but we've bounced back pretty quick over the past few years. So I think that we're going to be in for another volatile year.
So what's on the exciting agenda of Jane King? What's the any hot stories coming up that you're covering and you're doing coast to coast? That's of excitement. I got to get we got to get the listeners watching your show. So any teasing?
Well, we've been talking a lot about Apple and the FBI. So a huge amount of interest in that, and what's going to happen with that is just fascinating to watch. And I see Apple's point, but I tend to side with the FBI on this one. I think that the two can work out some kind of compromise where privacy is not, you know, we're not sliding down the slippery slope, quote unquote, but we're still able to stop terrorist attacks and child predators and things like that out there. So that's very interesting. And I did a story this week on how the Tax Policy Center did a study on how 45% of American households are paying no federal income tax in 2015. Zero. And there was a lot of interest in that. I think people were really shocked that almost half of American households won't pay any federal income tax for last year.
It is amazing. And that's where really, and I've always been an advocate of the flat tax. You just pick the tax, that's it, goodbye, good luck, and there's nothing. You don't have to do these fancy returns. You pay and you're done.
Yes.
And that's just,
great minds think alike, Todd. I love the flat tax too. We like Carly. I mean, we're like, you know, thinking alike. I love it.
It just makes sense. And we also, you know, the Apple thing, you know, I don't know. I think the NSA has already figured out how to break that phone. I think they're just trying to squeeze them a little bit. I think there's more to this story. I do not like the way that it's been handled by the Tim Cook, because I think he's used it more as a marketing ploy versus a national security thing. So I kind of find trouble with that. But I'm always concerned. You know, because what we went through with the, you know, now you can search anybody's house if you suspect terrorism. What is it? What was it? There's a term for that. I forget. But, you know, I don't know. I think that, you know, our privacy is important. But I wrote about it and I didn't make a decision. But I'm not happy with Tim Cook, certainly the way that he's handled it. And I think it's all a trouble. But I think overall, you know, we've got a market that's kind of in the middle of nowhere. We've got a lot of things going on, and I don't know if there's any real answers in the last few seconds. Or you have any concerns or anything that's really exciting that you think we should be watching for?
No, I guess not. I mean, of course, China's got the G20 summit, so that's going to be interesting to see what's going on there. And I just think, you know, I think China continues to bear watching. I think it's very interesting. Is this a soft landing for them, or is there really worse things to come? If there's worse things to come, I mean, I think we should watch out in the U.S.
This has been Jane King, our number one. Jane King, thank you so much. Lila Mix Media, the Ka-Ching Report.
Thank you, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll be back after the break. If you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm gets you on demand. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll be back right after the break.
Marjorie said, Roy.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and it's time for my guy, my man, Mike McClone, my A number one analyst. What's up, Mr. McClone?
Hello, Todd. Thanks for having me back, and it's good to be back.
Well, it's good to be back, and it wasn't good to be a bear last week. quite the rally, and it is kind of funny, though. It did almost like a gymnast when it got to the upper level. It kind of just stopped and turned around, but what was your take of the action last week?
Number one, I was impressed. It held up. I was afraid that after options expiration the week before that the market would not have, you know, all those short positions to hold it up. But it held right at the kind of the key levels. And the key levels I've been watching, if you look at the SPY, it held at 190. I think that was on Wednesday. It held in the QQQs at just at par, just at 100. And the key thing is it just tested good resistance. And I guess the key question we should be asking ourselves, is this the gift? Is this the gift, the rally that we're supposed to sell? And I think we are.
Well, I would agree with that. I mean, I thought we reached the upper level of where I thought we could go. I thought I was really looking at 1920 in the S&P and, you know, maybe 1940. But I did state all week that 1950 was, you know, the as far as I thought I could go. And interesting enough, it got up to about 1956, 57, and then actually closed below 1950. And I think one of the things that's interesting, Mike, is that, you know, and again, we can never argue with the market. The market is always right. We both agree on that. You can say whatever you want, but at the end of the day, when they close, that's your position, that's your mark, and that's your money. So if you're fighting it, then it's obviously been a little hairy. But at the end of the day, I think this might be a good spot, but the volume and volatility are really gone, which means that either the bears are all broken, gone home for hibernation in the summer instead of in the winter, and that there's some other issues that they're waiting on. What do you think?
Well, the first thing I think of when you say the volatility is gone is the puts are a lot cheaper than they were just a couple weeks ago. So I look at this as fundamental. We've been talking about this situation for a year. Now we have technical confirmation. And then as I look at it as a trader, I have to stick with the discipline. So first of all, I would stick with the big picture. My view is the market's way overdone, and we've been sticking with the big picture. We should be overweight cash, underweight risk assets, overweight bonds, and overweight gold and silver and things like that for over about a year. Now that the market's turned, we have to look for value. So early in the year, it just went down too far too fast. You got to be very careful selling into. But now we're getting decent moves back up to the good resistance. This, to me, where you, I think you're supposed to be a responsive seller. So one thing I have is that not only does the fundamentals look good, but the technicals really have shifted. I have to go with it. And that one thing, the key points are you look at the S&P 500, and I really like to focus on the weekly charts. And this is one thing I mentioned before. Dailies will just mess you up. They, you know, there's just too much noise. But you look at the weeklies, the 50-week moving average has shifted down, and it's very similar to what happened in 2008, shifting down after a prolonged period going up. The VIX has shifted back up. So the 50-week moving average in the VIX is shifted back up above the 200-week moving average. This is the first time since 2007. Gold has been above the 100-week moving average for the first time after a prolonged period below it since 2001. That's 15 years ago was the last time we had a prolonged period below the 100-week moving average, sorry, and it's back above it. This has been the third week. The key issue I'm looking at is silver. Silver is not confirmed gold. It hasn't gone up last week, but one thing that really concerns me is the gold-silver ratio closed out the week about 83. The high for the absolute, you know, the spiked high for the crisis in 2008 was about 84. So number one, that has to mean something. It's very significant. It means something's going on. Well, people think gold is much safer than, you know, the more industrial silver. And number two, it's a very good indication of how relatively attractive silver is.
Well, I mean, again, I like silver, and I like some hard assets. I always like to own some hard assets in my portfolio. I just think that that's always the proper way to go in these things, again, because we can't predict. You know, we can give you the examples, we can talk about when, you know, that it's going to happen, and I think we both agree that it's going to happen. But at the end of the day, when it's going to happen is anybody's guess, and anybody who preaches the fear mongers, as I wrote about the other day, about that the markets are going to go to 5,000, whatever, are all full of crap, and that's just noise to even throw in more confusion. I think there's a lot of signs that point to a market that should be correcting. And I mean, there's no bigger sign than we've been in a, you know, basically a 7-year bull market. So, you know, those things don't happen very often as either. And now we're getting some other factors that show that, hey, maybe there is some trouble out there. But I think one of the problems that the average investor never learns, one of the problems that advisors don't really understand is that the market is not going to go up forever. It is going to have a much more severe correction. The question is when, and it's not whether or not you should try to guess when to get or when to get out. That's where, when I talk about hedging, where I can stay in all the time without having to worry about that and actually capitalize off of markets that are going down, makes my methods very good in this type of market, because I don't have to get out. I don't have to guess the top, because one thing you and I both know for a certainty is trying to pick tops and bottoms in any market is like looking for fool's gold. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. Now, that's where your hedging skills come into play. And for the rest of us as a strategist, I just try to look for value, undervalued and overvalued. So we both agree the equity market was overvalued. And then I look at it as, yes, we don't want to miss any rallies. And I'm not saying, you know, get outright short. But some of the best opportunities come when every assets readjust to proper or maybe more attractive levels, and you're one of those people not getting hurt, then you can really capitalize on the value. And that's what I'm looking for. So I think it's really a good time to not be involved in trying to hope the equity market will go higher. It's a great time to just get out and say, thank you, I'll wait for better levels. And at some point, I expect, still expect, we're going to get much better levels to invest. And that's what I think is a key thing to look at. And one thing that you mentioned earlier is, you know, there's certain things we can't fight. And if you're getting bullish here on the equity market, not only are you fighting against history, you know, we've had a substantial period of above average returns, which are generally followed by substantial periods of below average returns. But the key thing is you're fighting the Fed. And that was the key thing that hit me last week, was some of the data I was surprised was better than expected. Consumer consumption, durable goods, personal consumption expenditures, they were better than expected, which is great, even some of the sales numbers. But that means that the Fed's more likely to tighten, which means it's more likely to reverse what it, what really drove the rally in the S&P 500 from 1,500 to 2,100, which was QE3. They're against us now. They are out to do everything they can to help prick what was a bubble they created, and they've said that. And so if you're getting aggressively long equities here, you're fighting the Fed. Because every time the market goes up, it's much more likely they're going to tighten. And that's one of the key things that happened last week. Only thing that's going to help the market go up is either Fed easing, which could happen, and it could really hurt a lot of the shorts, or the data gets better and the market looks like it's okay, which it did last week, which brought Fed tightening back into play. Not a lot yet, but if it continues, it means they're going to be much more likely to tighten. Maybe not at this next meeting in March, but at some point this year.
What did you think about the GDP number on Friday?
Well, I was a bit surprised. It was so much better expected. I didn't dig in as much people didn't do, because it's one of the most revised numbers ever in history. But then it's only 1%. And the Fed has been predicting average GDP, total, you know, GDP near 2 to 3% for the last 5 years. They've been predicting inflation overall, depending on which number they use, above 2% for the last 5 years. And they've been consistently wrong. So, yes, it's great to see one number come back up, but it's such a backward-looking measure versus what we've been seeing in the forward-looking indicators are completely pointing the opposite. And it doesn't really measure what's happening in the rest of the world. And what's happening, the key thing for me, bottom line, is an overextended stock market, which is very similar to the overextended housing market in 2007. When that simply mean reverted, most of the dominoes tumbled. So if this equity market just simply mean reverts, a lot of the QE rally, my biggest fear is the dominoes tumbling. And that's where I think as investors, we have to very, very much be careful and make sure we're acting accordingly to watch out to not getting hit by those dominoes on the way down.
Well, I don't know. You know, again, I look at it and you and I look at it a little bit differently, and I see troubles. But what is your take on Barron's calling for a 3% growth this year?
Good luck. They've been consistently wrong. The Fed's been consistently wrong since even before the crisis. 3% nominal GDP growth, maybe. I mean, that can happen. But if there's any type of inflation, that would be wonderful. And if that does happen, expect the Fed to tighten, expect the dollar to continue to rally, and expect corporate profits to decline, because the dollar rallying is a complete direct correlation between higher dollar and weaker global corporate profits. And it's very likely the S&P 500 could continue lower because it doesn't have the Fed behind it.
Yeah, and that's always a problem. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to ask you, I want you to think about this, because it's a big question. Does the Fed need to be ended? Or does it need to be reorganized? Or is it fine the way it is? Those are your choices or more. When we come back from the break, we are hanging out with my man, Mike McClone, one of the smartest guys I know, and a veteran of the trading floor. So when you get his information, not only are you getting it from the analyst part of him, but he does know how to tie in what does happen on the floor, because it is different when you don't understand how markets really work. So that's one of the great benefits of having Mike on the program. This is The Bubba Show. If you ever miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm. Every show is there on demand waiting for you. And right now you can be among the hundreds of thousands of people that download it every month. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break and come back to get Mike McClone's answer on the Fed. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Mike McClone, my man. Ex-trader, an analyst, does it all, understands it all, and really understands that ETF space. All right, Mike, so I think that the Fed is totally broken. And I don't know, I'm not sure, I really don't know the answer, but I don't know whether we need a central bank as we had it. But certainly, in my opinion, the central bank as it stands today is totally whacked and does not deserve to be in business the way it is constricted today. But I want to get your opinion. You're a Fed believer, and you're, you know, a guy who believes in those guys. So tell me what you're thinking, and what if you would do something different, what and what would you see going forward?
Well, this is a good subject for us because we have very much different opinions on it, and I'd like to be a little more neutral on it. There's number one, whatever is up with the Fed, there's not much you and I or any of us can do about it, and I believe they've have a vital role. History has proven when the U.S. does not have a central bank, we've had some major, significant, greater volatility increases. But I like to look at it, the next step is, what can I do based on what the Fed's doing? In my analysis, where I think they're right and they're wrong to either help my investments and or not lose money. So one of the latest things I've been doing is, the best way to really analyze what's going on in the Fed is to read Jim Rickard's books. He puts out a bunch of books. I've read a number of them. One of them was Currency Wars. His latest one is The Big Drop. Now, unfortunately, he's a bit of that can be considered a bit of a fear-mongering type book, but one thing he points out in that book, which is I'm almost done with, I've been reading it this week, is the Fed members are some of the most educated, smartest people in the world. But he did point out, you know, 1,000 years ago, the most educated, smartest people in the world thought the world was flat, and the earth, you know, the sun revolved around the earth. Everybody thought that and they were wrong. But his key point is, they are smart, but they have the wrong models they're using to analyze what's going on. And that's his opinion. I think that's the case. And to me, that's the key thing, what brings into what, to answer your question, I think the best thing to do here is what we can do to capitalize and make some profit from what the Fed's doing. And this is where I come into play, is what they did wrong, I think, was QE3. It just created this massive rally in the S&P 500 in the stock market, which history has proven, physics proved, there's no reaction without an equal and opposite reaction. So I fully expect most of that rally to either come back or to consolidate for years or on below average returns. I mean, it's just almost impossible. It's never happened. They can get a free lunch. So what are we supposed to do about it? The Fed's tightening. They said they're going to tighten. If the data's good, they're more likely to tighten. If the data's bad, it's basically lose-lose for equity investors. So I think it's more likely we're supposed to focus on selling rallies in the equity market and looking for attractive investments otherwise and elsewhere, and then waiting for good levels to get back into the equity market when it comes back to more natural, organic-type levels that are not being driven by a Fed that got out of hand.
All right, well, I'm not letting you off that easy, okay? What do you say? That was a way to go around my answer. What do you say to the people who say that since the Fed has been around in 1913, they have destructed the dollar by about 96%? What do you say to that?
I say, what can we do to take advantage of that? There's nothing we can do about the Fed. I'm trying to take the next iteration. There's nothing we're going to do about it. But as investors, we have to focus on what can we do to make sure we don't get hurt and or take advantage. And this is the train wreck that Jim Rickards talks about. And this is why I'd like to get into. That's why I think gold and silver are so attractive. Now, look what's happening. It's not just the Fed. The rest of the world, one quarter of the bonds in the rest of the world are negative interest rates. The rest of the, most of the major countries in the world, Europe, Japan, who you name it, are panicking, and they've gone to negative rates. Now, what that means is a stronger dollar, among things, which means deflationary forces, which means declining profits for U.S., and means the Fed, if we start getting weak economic data here, there's nothing they can do. Their hands will be tied. They'll have to focus on lower rates and catching up to the rest of the world. There's nothing they'll be able to do because the dollar strength will be more deflationary. So my key thing is, what are we supposed to do about this? And that is focus on some hard value assets like you mentioned. Don't ever forget that cash is king in a global deflationary environment. That's what's happening. Focus on cash, some gold, some silver, and be careful getting bullish in equities when they go up.
All right, let's talk a little politics. Now, I don't want your opinion of who you're going to vote for, but I want to know, what is your take, what is your opinion of Donald J. Trump? Do you like his message? Do you have any words of wisdom for our listeners about the message he's sending? And if it's not a guy like Trump, but do you like his take and do you like his attitude about certain things?
I'm more impressed. I'd like to answer that question with what Trump's candidacy means. Everybody, certainly myself, expected 3 months ago he would have flamed out by now. The fact that he hasn't, to me, is a major indicator of what you've been saying, what I've been saying in retail sales, and what's happening in this economy. People are fed up with politicians. They're fed up with the establishment. Fed up with people who are, you know, who are beholden to other entities. He is an independent thinker, and he says whatever he thinks. Now, I don't agree with most of that, but the fact is people do in this economy, and they are, which to me makes a good indication that they, most people are getting away from traditional investments. Probably it's a good indication for gold, and it's probably a key indication that is if we get further weakness in the stock market, every tick that it goes down is more likely Trump's going to be president. And when it goes up, it's more likely we're going to get a Democrat or maybe Hillary Clinton. Why? Because when things go down and look bad economically, you almost always need to shift regimes. We've had 8 years of Democrats. If we look like we're going into a recession and the equity market keeps going down, it's almost guaranteed we're going to have a Republican, and it's probably going to be Trump. If everything looks fine, the equity market goes back up, we're probably more likely to get back to a Democrat. So I think he's an indication of something that's self-fulfilling, and that is basically most of the middle class in this country are not making as much money, they're not very well employed, and they want anything and anything that's different than the old guard establishment.
Now, you know, we've heard Bernie Sanders and we've heard his tax plan, and, you know, I don't know if you've watched any of Varney, but he's obviously has a meltdown every day about, you know, 90% taxes on your money. And there was actually a woman on air that agreed that there should be 90% taxes, and she said she'd be happy to pay it because it was only for the wealthy. So my question to you is, do you believe in wealth equality, or do you believe in, you know, whatever you kill is yours, and it shouldn't, you shouldn't have to be into that high tax, those high taxes?
Well, I'm definitely more the latter. I mean, if we all wanted that, we should move to Canada, or not so much Canada, but France. You know, tax rates are horrible there. We've actually tried that in the past in this country, and I just believe in you know, you cannot punish those that do at the benefit for those that don't. We obviously have to help people who are less fortunate than those, but, you know, I live in Connecticut. I've had a good life, but I was born on the south side of Chicago. Family of six, one income. I worked my ass off, my butt off, sorry.
That's all
to get
right.
Where we are, so we can't punish people like us. And that's the problem. If Bernie Sanders get elected, we can expect a pretty full, extensive recession in something like France, where you just never get out of the funk. You just never get better. I mean, we have, this country is the most dynamic country in the world, partly because our system allows entrepreneurship, allows people to do better, and there's incentive to do better. If you take that away, we're going to be, it's just going to destroy the country, unfortunately.
I mean, you know, I think if somebody needs an entitlement, then that's fine if they really need it. But of course, now the entitlements are so good that a lot of the jobs that you can get pay less than the entitlement. So why would you go get a job? So I feel that's a problem. And again, to me, that's an overwhelming problem to the bigger economic problem in which we talk about and we allude to here all the time. And that the markets and the economy, you know, for many, many years here now have gone in opposite directions. But at some point, somebody's going to have to pay the piper here, and there's going to be some action because of that, because we're talking about things that are really nonsensical. When you think about it, I mean, if I'm an entrepreneur, I don't want to be paying all that money to taxes. I'm working for myself. That's why I work 120 hours a week. What do you think?
Well, exactly, and completely with you there. You can't disincentivize it. I'm more worried about what's happening with this self-fulfilling prophecy where this massive paradigm shift that a lot of people aren't recognizing yet in technology. In any country or state or company that's not keeping up ahead of it is going to just fall behind. It's just happening at the greatest pace in history. And if we, you know, like all this rules in this argument about the minimum wage, I'm completely for high minimum wage, but I'm much more for greater and more important re-education. If you're not happy with your wage, don't ask for more. Let me help you get an education or learn some greater skills that are really of value where you can say, no, you don't have to ask for more. They better pay me more. I'm going to go someplace else.
Mike McClone, you always bring your A game here. It's great to always have you on, and I appreciate your honesty and answers. Always great to have you on, Mr. McClone.
Thanks for having me.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com. We write. I did a lot of good writing last week, and I want you to check those out. But we also offer our hedging program and our futures program. And again, we're all about, as Mr. McClone just said, education. That's what the Bubba Show and Bubba Trading is about, is really educating the average investor to do better for themselves. You missed an episode, libertytalk.fm. You can get on demand every day. This has been the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Put some feel good in my soul.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.